الذي إن الحمد لله نحمده واستعينه واستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أبتغي الله سبحانه وتعالى and he is the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him and I seek refuge on Almighty Allah from the evil of our passion. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslim. Alhamdulillah, by Allah's leave, today, which is October the 6th, which is Tuesday. Today, inshallah, this constitutes our 28th class on the book Bulugh al-Maram in Adillat al-Ahkam. الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله. Today, inshallah, our class, the class number 28 from the book The Attainment of the Objective by الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني. Our class today is concerning الجمعة, which is the Salah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory on the Muslim male of this ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the attendance and being part of the Jum'ah obligation on the Muslims. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had named surah in Al-Quran. Yeah, you can bring this little bit closer, inshallah. But it's working there. You can go in the hallway and see if it's working there. And we have a surah in Al-Quran, a chapter by name Al-Jum'ah. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated after A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim, Ya Ayyuha Alladhina Amanu, إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this verse commands the believer by saying يا أيها الذين آمنوا who you believe إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة إذا جمعة the Adhan is established for Yawm al-Jum'ah. تسعوا الى ذكر الله hasten to the remembrance of Allah وذروا البيع and leave business, leave all occupation alone. This is better to you if you only knew. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Jum'ah must and obligatory and all men who are present, who are home, who are well, they are not sick, and that regardless whatever occupation they do, the students or the lovers or professionals, whatever their occupation, they have to leave it during this time, and they have to go to the remembrance of Allah. They have to go to the salah. They have to go to the khutbah. They have to go to this admonition that which reminds them about Allah and revives their iman and their deen and brings them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is commanding them to leave all occupation, that earning any money during this hour is haram, it's forbidden. The income during Jum'ah is haram. Even if he's selling milk and bread, okay? Even if he's selling halal product, it's still haram to earn a dollar, and the income during this hour is forbidden. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this Jum'ah to be la ta'eed for the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this day a special day for the Muslims. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showing us in hadith which he reported by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, about one of the speciality of Jum'ah by saying, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ بَابٍ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْمَسْجِدِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَكْتُبُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى قَدْرِ مَنَازِلِهِمْ الْأَوَّلُ فَالْأَوَّلُ فَإِذَا جَلَسَ الْإِمَامُ طَوَوُا الصُّحُفَ وَجَاءُوا يَسْتَمِعُونَ الذِّكْرَ. That this hadith which is in the collection of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us, when the day of Jum'ah is in, the angels, they will sit by the doors or the gates of the mosque. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they sit by the door of the mosque. And they will record the names of the people who come into Jum'ah. First come, first record. Okay? Until the Jum'ah established, the event is called, now the angels will close their books. And they themselves, the angels, they will come inside the mosque to listen to the khutbah. So those people who come late, their name is not written. You see, like when you go to a party and they have this book there that, like a visitors or guests, okay? And after this, if you try to be there to put your name there, like a privilege fee, huh? PID? You see, so the angels, they are recording the people who come to the masjid. But when it comes the time for khutbah, they close your book and they come themselves to listen to this remembrance. So can you imagine if the angels themselves coming to listen to the khutbah? What about a human being who always make mistakes and commit sins? He needs more than the angels, okay? This is pure creation of Allah who did not commit any wrong or any evil, they themselves come to listen to the khutbah. What about the human beings? They need it more than the angels, is it? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that the first person who comes to attend Jum'ah, that he will get such a great reward as if he bought a whole camel and distributed for the sake of Allah. Can you imagine buying a whole camel? That's talking about spending what, about $1,500, okay, or $1,000 at least, and that is to give this meat in charity, okay? The person, the second person who comes will be like a person who bought a whole cow and distributed it for Allah's pleasure. And after this, the reward will come less and less, like a person who bought a goat or bought a sheep, until it comes to so small
like a person who buy an egg, one egg, and he gives it to Sabilillah. So this Rasulullah telling us that the earlier that you come to Jum'ah, the more reward that you get it. So Yawm al-Jum'ah is a special day, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us about it, that this is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. Okay? And that this is a day which is the Yawm al-Qiyamah going to be establishing it. And this is the day which Al-Sa'qa, okay, or the hour will be establishing it. And this is the day which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits Adam to paradise. So Yawm al-Jum'ah is a special day in the Muslim life. Okay? And this is like Eid. You have Eid every year and you have Eid every week. So the weekly Eid and the weekly feast for the Muslim is the Jum'ah. And this is the reason that is recommended for the Muslims that they wash up and they put the best of their clothes and they put perfume, the men, they put perfume and they come early. So all the things, because this is a special day for them. They get together and they meet together and they listen to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was a small introduction concerning Jum'ah, and there is more details, but I don't want to spend too much time out of the book that we're supposed to be discussing. So today, inshallah, since we're talking about Jum'ah, we go back to the original book that we usually use, which is the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam, the attainment of the objective. And for those who have the book, inshallah, we are today in chapter number 12, Al-Jum'ah prayer. Chapter 12 in page 157. Okay? And the first hadith, and the first hadith in this chapter, hadith which number 354. Hadith number 354 reported by Abdullah ibn Amr and Abdullah ibn Umar wa Abi Hurayrata radiyallahu ta'ala anhum annahuma sami'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqulu ala a'wad min duri layantahiyanna aqwamun an wad'ihim al-jumu'at أو ليختمن الله على قلوبهم ثم ليكونن من الغافلين رواه مسلم. This hadith reported by Ibn Umar as well as Abu Hurairah may Allah be pleased with both of them, that both of them reported that they heard from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he mentioned this on his minbar. Okay? So we understand that the sunnah to have a minbar in the masjid. And the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pulpit that he used to use, consists of three steps. Two steps to climb, and the third one to sit on it. Like our minbar in the masjid, alhamdulillah. So you step on the first step to climb, the second step you stand on it, the third step that you sit on it. Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was standing on the minbar and he was warning the Muslims and telling them, people must cease to neglect Friday prayers. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seize their hearts. And then they will be among the unaware. Among those who are then their heart been covered, has a cover over them. So from this hadith, which is the seriousness of neglecting the Jum'ah, and that the Jum'ah is a must. Okay? And neglecting the Jum'ah, it will cause heart disease. What kind of a heart disease? will be a veil on the heart. And when there is a veil on the heart, comes as a result of committing the sin. And neglecting the Jum'ah is a sin. And when the heart is covered and has a rishawa, and he has a seal on it, the person will see the good bad and the bad good. He will see the evil to be good and the good to be evil. He will see the sunnah to be innovation and the innovation, nothing wrong with it. You see? Why? Because his heart did not understand properly, neither it can see rightly. Okay? So as a result, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ of a seal on the heart and a rishawa or a veil on the heart came as a result of neglecting the Jum'ah, because the school is more important, the degree more important, the dollar more important. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make those people among the ghafilin. Okay? Those who are unaware. That means he is not paying attention anymore to what is good, what can be beneficial for him. And this hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic, alhamdulillah. Next hadith, hadith number 355, reported by Salama ibn al-Aqwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال كنا نصلي مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الجمعة ثم ننصرف وليس للحيطان ظل نستظل به, متفق عليه, واللفظ للبخاري. So the second hadith is talking about the time of Jum'ah. And that the Sahaba, one of them reported, who was Salama ibn al-Aqwa, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, we used to finish Jum'ah. That means we heard the khutbah, and we made the salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we departed from the masjid, and while there was no shade for us to go under it. Okay? That means the almost time of, because the shade comes when? After the sun moves from the middle of the sky. And now we can, because as long as the sun in the middle of the sky, there is no shade. Now when it starts to move towards the west, little bit more, now you can have more shade. That means we used to make it almost before the zawal. And this is one of the time of Jum'ah. Okay? And this one of the time of Jum'ah. And in another narration from Imam Muslim, كُنَّا نُجْمِعَ مَعَهُ إِذَا زَالَتِ الشَّمْسِ ثُمَّ نَرْجِعَ نَتَتَبَّعُ الْفَيْلِ. Okay? The first narration was by Bukhari. The second narration by Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhi, that we used to offer Jum'ah prayer with Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the sun passed. Okay? By the zawal, okay? Back by the meridian, and we then return and try to find out the afternoon shadow. Okay, so each sahabi or each narration giving us a different time. Therefore, we understand that the Jum'ah is flexible. And for the Imam, and let's get one hadith more, and this hadith also is authentic. Hadith number 356, reported by Sahl ibn Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال ما كنا نطيل ولا نتغدى إلا بعد الجمعة. This متفق على this agreed in Bukhari and Muslim. Okay? And in narration say, during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he did not have the qaylula. Like what you call nab. Neither lunch until we finish the salah. So from this we understand that time of Jum'ah is extended and is up to the Imam to see what is more reasonable for the Muslim, okay? And during the seasons also to make it more hardship for the Muslims, okay? So it is that during the summer, we can do it early as example, okay? Or during the winter, we can do it a little bit later after the sun moved out of the middle of the sky. And here the footnote says that according to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, it is permissible to start performing Fajr prayer before Zawal. That means the declining of the sun. The rest of the Imam, okay, the other Imam, and the majority of the scholars observe the Fajr prayer must be performed immediately after Zawal. Okay? After Zawal. But as I said, from this brief three ahadith, we see that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made it in different time, and for the Imam to see what is more suitable and more beneficial for the Muslims, okay, and he can do it. In actuality, the Jum'ah prayer is like the Eid prayer in the time. You can do it from after sunrise, about half an hour, any time until the time of the regular time for Zuhr. Okay? So any time the Imam sees it to be more reasonable, he can do it and will be known to the Muslims that this is the time for Jum'ah to get together. So this is the biggest three hadith, all of them authentic and all of them dealing with the time of Jum'ah when it can be established. Next hadith, which is hadith number 357, reported by Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, anna al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yahtubu qa'ima, faja'at ghirun min al-Sham, fanfatala an-nasu ilayha, hatta lam yabqa illa 12 rajulan, rawahu Muslim. Okay? This hadith reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was making khutbah standing up. And this is the first thing that we learn from the hadith. That the khutbah to be delivered from the standing up position on the member, on the pulpit. Okay? And we just stated about the member of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the things, since we're talking about the member and standing up, that some of the innovation been extended to even the member. So when you go to some places overseas, you will see a member that about 22 states. Okay? And you will find flags both sides of the Imam and store the hanging there and verses of the Quran written everywhere and Allah and Muhammad and Uthman and Ali. And he found all these things, alayhi salam. So, to such a degree that you could not even see the face of the Imam on the member because that is in the second floor, in the balcony, all the way up. You see? And this was not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In his member, only three steps. And the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give the khutbah standing up. No flags, no swords, no verses of Quran written, nothing of this thing. فَجَاءَتْ غِيرٌ مِّنَ الشَّامِ When a caravan from Syria arrived, so some of the people, they hastened towards this caravan and they left Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with other companions while he was giving the khutbah. Nobody remained in the masjid except 12 people from the Sahaba. And this shows you also how much disturbance Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced during his da'wah. Even from the Muslims. Can you imagine? The Prophet of Allah is giving khutbah and they believe in him in Jum'ah. Okay? Because some money. You left Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they hate him outside and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, so the hadith is authentic. This hadith, which in page number 159, hadith number 358, hadith reported by Ibn Umar, رضي الله تعالى عنهما, قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, من أدرك ركعة من صلاة الجمعة وغيرها, فليضف إليها أخرى وقد تمت صلاته. رواه النسائي وابن ماجه والدارقطني واللفظ له وإسناده سوز أوبر and the Imam already start the Salah and he missed one rak'ah from the prayer, and he called the second rak'ah, so what he's supposed to do? He will add one rak'ah more, and he will be making Jum'ah. This will be considered to him as what? As a Jum'ah. But if he enter and the imam in the second rak'ah, he already said, Sami Allah liman hamida, did not catch him a rak'ah. Okay? Still he will join the imam, and he will make what? He will make four rak'ah, praying Zuhr. Okay? So the rak'ah will be caught when you catch the imam in Fatiha, or you catch the imam reciting the surah after Fatiha, or you catch the imam in the rukuah. But as soon as the imam says, Sami Allahu liman hamidah, this rak'ah is done, and you lost your whole Jum'ah. Okay? And there is narration say, وَغَيْرِهَا, that means other prayer. That means whenever you catch a rak'ah from any salah with the imam, that means the reward of jama'ah will be considered to you, but you still have to do what? To complete your prayer. If it's Jum'ah, you add another rak'ah. If you catch the imam in the last rak'ah of the Maghrib, you will add two rak'ah. If you catch the imam in Salat al-Fajr in Salat last rak'ah, you will add one rak'ah. If you catch the imam for Dhuhr and Asr and Isha in the last rak'ah, you will add what? Three rak'ah. And the hadith is in the collection of Imam al-Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, Ad-Darqutni, and the hadith, inshallah, is authentic. Last hadith, inshallah, so because time for the prayer, Maghrib prayer, and after this we continue after Salat al-Maghrib. Hadith number 369. وعن جابر ابن سمرة ابن سمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخطب قائما ثم يجلس ثم يقوم فيخطب قائما فمن أنبأت أنه كان يخطب جالسا فقد تزد. أخرجه مسلم. The hadith is reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, that he informed us about the condition of the khatib, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to deliver the khutbah what? Standing up. And after this he will sit. Okay? And after this he will get up again and he will give the khutbah. So if anybody informs you that the Prophet ﷺ gives the khutbah sitting, he is lying against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from this we understand that the Jum'ah, part of the Jum'ah is the khutbah, and the khutbah to be delivered standing up, and there is two khutbah for the Jum'ah, and there is sitting for the Imam between the two khutbah, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, the hadith is authentic. We continue inshallah after Salat al-Maghrib, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. So we continue what we from before Salat al-Maghrib. And before we continue in our class, how you hear me here? Can you hear me? We want to go back to hadith number 358. The hadith, although it's classified as sahih, but the saying of Jum'ah is shaz. Okay? And I don't know how to translate shaz to you. It's a hard, anyway, the hadith, as I said, in the collection of النسائي and collection of Ibn Majah, Darqutni, Al-Bayhaqi. وقد صححه الشيخ الألباني مع اعتبار الحاكم المذكور. انظر الإرواء. For you to go to the book of الإرواء, which Sheikh Nasir said about the hadith to be authentic, but is the hadith which reported by Abu Hurairah. The saying of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم من أدرك ركعة من صلاة الجمعة فقد أدرك الصلاة. This is the hadith which is authenticated by Sheikh al-Albani. But the hadith by this statement, which by from Ibn Umar, is classified as weak. So if anybody classified it as sahih, please correct it. But still the meaning, the fiqh meaning of it is still correct. I know it may be a little bit complicated, but maybe inshallah, if Brother Ghassan in the end of the class can give you how the hadith says and what it says and how the hadith can be sahih and not sahih and the whole details. But for the time being, to make a long story short, you can put in beside this hadith to be weak. Hadith number 358. And still the meaning, the fiqh meaning of it is correct. If you catch the last raqa of Jum'ah, you add another raqa and you quote the Jum'ah. And please don't ask me any more questions about it. Hadith number 359 is authentic, and we'll finish it. And now we're about to finish, to explain hadith number 360. Which reported from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qal kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam iza khataba ihmarrat aynah wa ala sawtuhu wa ishtadda ghadabuhu hatta ka'annahu mundiru jayshi yaqulu sabbahakum wa massakum wa yaqul amma ba'd fa inna khayra al-hadithi kitabullah wa khayra al-huda huda Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل بدعة ضلالة. The hadith is reported by Jabir, son of Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, as well as his father, describing the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the physical changes that took place on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, face, eyes, voice, while he is delivering the khutbah. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so no doubt on it, that means is authentic, 100% inshallah. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to deliver khutbah al-Jum'ah, his eyes would become red. His voice was, and his anger become violent. As if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warning the army, okay, saying, صبحكم ومساكم, that means the enemy is about to approach you early in the morning or by sunset, okay, by the evening. So when you're warning somebody about the army coming to attack you, can you imagine somebody rushing, trying to give this news for everybody to hurry up and get prepared? This is the way when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to deliver the khutbah, because it's a matter of serious, okay, matter very serious. Warning the Muslim, wake up people, don't let this dunya take you away from Allah, don't let this dunya beguile you, you have Jannah waiting in you, or hellfire waiting in you, okay? And as a result of this, the Prophet was so serious about it, you can see this in his eyes, in his face, in his voice. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, أَمَّا بَعْد, okay, he didn't say what says, or an opening phrase for Islamic speech, meaning to whatever to proceed, whatever comes after this, okay. Indeed, the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Book of Allah. The best guidance is the Huda and the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The worst of all affairs is bid'ah, okay, or the newly thing. Let's see how he said it here. The best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad, and what renders affairs most evil are the innovations, and all innovations are delusion, okay, misguidance. Take your trade. This is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
used to repeat it almost every khutbah. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to repeat this every khutbah, that means this is the main core of Islam. This is the basic and the most important thing to understand. And any Muslim, a scholar or a student, if he can understand the basic of this word, he will understand what this deen is about. That is a complete religion, that it doesn't accept any foreigner idea, it doesn't accept opinions, it doesn't accept any addition, and that the best is to follow, not to invent. The next hadith, and there is another version for this hadith, وفي رواية الله كانت خطبة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الجمعة يحمد الله ويثني عليه ثم يقول على إثر ذلك وقد على صوته. Also explains the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while he's delivering the khutbah. It was the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم khutbah on Friday. He was to praise Allah. Afterwards, he was to praise Allah. Afterwards, till it indeed his voice was raised. Okay? So hopefully that some of the Muslims who are always complaining, the Imam always angry, the Imam always his voice in the khutbah is off. We understand we are not here talking about eating, you understand, banana and apples and talking about, it's not a matter of entertainment, that you're talking to people about something very serious. It's your deen and you have to take the matter very serious, okay? So we're not here to please the people, we're here to understand how the Prophet ﷺ delivered this message. And it's not a matter that you're trying even to imitate, it's something nature. You are not telling a story, okay? Especially if you're talking about some of the sickness that the Muslims been living in it and doing it day by night. People eating riba, people having girlfriends or boyfriends, women walking half naked, people coming to the masjid with almost no hijab. And after this, expecting the Imam to be standing there, smiling and talking, you understand, as if nothing taking place in the masjid. In another version, which both versions, this one and the one before, are authentic. وفي رواية الله من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وللنساء وكل ضلالة في النار. Okay, that all these three versions are authentic. That whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can get astray, and whom Allah gets astray, no one can guide him. Other version, and in other version, that of An-Nisa'i, all the earth is equal to enter the fire. Okay? Error by making, adding things to this deen. This deen doesn't accept anything addition that is not came in Quran or came from Rasulullah or came from the understanding, the collective understanding of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them. Hadith number 361 in page 160, reported by Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qal, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن طول صلاة الرجل وقصر خطبته مئنة من فقهه. This in collection of the Imam Muslim, that Ammar ibn Yasir describing or narrating from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning how the khutbah should be in Jum'ah and how the salah of Jum'ah should be. Okay? This is not a must, but it should. The length of a man's prayer and the shortness of his khutbah are a sign of his understanding or of the religion or wisdom, whatever, okay? So, should the salah be longer and the khutbah is short, okay? And sometimes for certain things that they have to give a long khutbah to explain to the people or to convince to the people. And it depends who the people you're talking to. Okay? Who is the people that you're relating this message to
And some people, if they also the level of their iman. Some people already take a hadith and invert from the Quran, and this is. You don't have to take more than 3 minutes, maximum 5 minutes in the khutbah. And some people, you can even stay there for half an hour. And after this, you say, what the khutbah today was about? Okay? Because some people be taking a nap, and some people coming out of the habit. Okay? That we go there to Jum'ah. And this is. May Allah help all of us, inshallah. Hadith number 362, page 161, reported عن أم هشام بنت حارثة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت ما أخذت قاب والقرآن المجيد والقرآن المجيد إلا عن لسان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأها كل جمعة على المنبر إذا خطب الناس رواه مسلم. Okay. This hadith reported by Umm Hisham. This is one thing we understand or benefit from this hadith, that the women in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they attend the Jum'ah, and they even participate in the da'wah by delivering what they heard, and they teach us what they saw or observed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they carry their part of learning, participating, and passing the information, and this is what they showed. Be done by the Muslim sisters nowadays also, okay? For sure, without mixing or breaking any Islamic rules. She said, I didn't memorize or learn. I learned Surah Qaf, okay? Surah number 60. I learned Surah Qaf from the tongue of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to recite it every Friday on the pulpit, okay, when he delivered khutbah. For sure that Hisham is reporting about what she observed, but this does not mean that every Jum'ah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting Surah Qaf. But it may happen that every time that she attended, that she heard this surah, but it shows that mean Rasulullah used to recite it many times, and she can be so smart that she heard it few times, and as a result of this, she had memorized Surah Qaf. This shows you that sometimes Rasulullah used to recite Quran. The Quran itself is maw'izah, is admonishment, okay? And is enough to remind the Muslims about their deen. Hopefully, inshallah, that we can go and try to look at this surah in the Quran so we can see one of the admonishments of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during Jum'ah, Surah Qaf. Okay? Qaf of Quran al-Majid. And this hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhi. Hadith number 363, reported by Ibn Abbas, رضي الله تعالى عنهما, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, من تكلم يوم الجمعة والإمام يخطب فهو كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا والذي يقول له أنصت ليست له جمعة, رواه أحمد بإسناد لا بأس به. The hadith is reported by Ibn Abbas in the collection of Imam Ahmad, and the hadith is classified to be weak, so we are not going to deal with it. Okay? The narration comes in page 162 to say, وَهُوَ يُفَسِّرُ حَدِيثَ أَبَى هُرَيْرَةَ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مَرْفُوعًا إِذَا قُلْتَ لِصَاحِبِكَ أَنْصِتْ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ وَالْإِمَامُ يَخْطُبُ فَقَالَ رجل يوم الجمعة والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب فقال صليت؟ قال لا. قال قم فصلي ركعتين. Okay. This hadith number 364 reported by Jabir. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليهما. So the hadith in the highest degree of authenticity. And that narrating that while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was delivering his khutbah in Yawm al-Jum'ah, a man came in. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him or asked him, questioned him, did you perform prayer? He said, no. He said, get up and pray two rak'at. Okay? So this teaches us about the manner and the discipline, the behavior of a Muslim who follows the sunnah, not the madhab, who follow the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he put the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the statement of the school of thought. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered the man, he questioned him first, did you pray? And the man sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving the khutbah. He said no. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked him to get up and make two rak'at while he was still giving the khutbah. So any time you enter, while the Imam giving the khutbah or before the khutbah, he says, you should do what? Two rak'at before you sit down. Hadith number 365 from Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. That means, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. Abdullah and his father. Okay? كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ في صلاة الجمعة سورة الجمعة والمنافقين رواه مسلم. The hadith in the collection of the Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. And also Ibn Abbas reporting to us about what he observed, what he heard. Okay? That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to recite in يوم الجمعة because the recitation in صلاة الجمعة is out loud. Okay, so the worshipper, the believer, they will hear the Imam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite what? Surah Al-Jum'ah and Surah what? Al-Munafiqeen. Surah 62 and Surah number 63, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? No, I'm mistaken. Is it? Yes. Is it? Yes, Surah Al-Jum'ah, yes. Surah Al-Jum'ah Al-Munafiqeen. This Surah number 62 and Surah number 63. And this also doesn't mean that the Prophet ﷺ always reads this, but he did it sometimes. So each Sahabi, he reporting what he heard from the Prophet ﷺ. وله عن النعمان ابن بشير كان يقرأ في العيدين وفي الجمعة بسبح اسم ربك الأعلى وهل أتاك حديث الغاشية. Okay. فير النعمان ابن بشير may Allah be pleased with him reporting in this authentic hadith that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم used to recite glorify the name of your Lord the Most High and give the news of the calamity came to you, Surah Al-A'la and Surah Al-Ghashiyah, which is Surah number 88 and Surah number 87. Okay? This is also shows you a different narration what the Prophet ﷺ used to say during Jummah in Salat al-Jummah. And all this narration, alhamdulillah, is authentic. Hadith number 366 in page 163, reported by Zayd ibn Arqam, we're going to leave it alone because the hadith is weak. Okay? Hadith number 367 from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى أحدكم الجمعة فليصلي بعدها أربعة. Okay, the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim. So the hadith is authentic, reported by Abu Huraira. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, what the meaning is, when one of you prays the Jum'ah prayer, he should pray for optional rak'at. Okay. Because as we understand that all salah, other the five time prayers, Sub, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha, are optional prayer. But this is the salah is recommended. And we're going to see other narration that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make two, and sometimes when he go home he make four, or he make two in the masjid, two in the house. So all the things, inshallah, is correct, and all of them it's been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each Sahabi had reported what he saw, some he saw in the masjid, and as his wife she saw him in the house. So each person reported about what they observed from him. But this hadith that we have with us, that Rasulullah said for you to pray 4 rak'at after Salat al-Jum'ah. And for sure that is obvious, that means 2 rak'at taslim out, 2 rak'at taslim out. Next hadith was hadith number 368, وعن السائب ابن يزيد أن معاوية رضي الله تعالى عنه قال له إذا صليت الجمعة فلا تصلها بصلاة فلا تصلها بصلاة حتى تتكلم أو تخرج، فإن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرنا بذلك أن لا نوصل صلاة بصلاة حتى نتكلم أو نخرج. رواه مسلم. The hadith is in the collection of the Imam Muslim, Brother Rafiq. Okay, so the hadith is authentic. No doubt about it. Okay? Reported by who? By Sa'ib ibn Yazid. From Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah s.a.w. saying, إِذَا صَلَّيْتَ الْجُمْعَةِ when you perform the Jum'ah prayer, don't connect it with other salah. Until you do what? That you talk, or you go out, or move in from your spot, whatever. Okay, not to be connected the prayer together. Okay? Like you may give your brother salam, ask the person how he's doing, or whatever it is, that to be is some kind of talk, or he sit outside. So not to be observed as if you connected Jum'ah with other prayer, because this is the way that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded them. In page 164, hadith number 369 from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من اغتسل ثم أتى الجمعة فصلى ما قدر له ثم أنصت حتى يفرغ الإمام من خطبته ثم يصلي معه غفر له ما بينه وبين الجمعة الأخرى وفضل ثلاثة أيام. And this is one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given it especially for those who go to attend Jum'ah. And I could not see how Muslims can hear hadith like this and after this they be busy with their school or their business or whatever they do. It's so great reward for a person coming to Jum'ah and preparing himself for Jum'ah. وشوف حمزة وعبد المعز قلهم يجي. So great reward for the Jum'ah and how we supposed to prepare for the Jum'ah so we can get this reward. It takes the preparation before and during. Okay? Number one, whosoever wash, that means take a ghusl, a full ghusl, shower. And after this he come to Jum'ah, and after this number three to do what? He will pray optional prayer, and number four that he will be quiet and listen carefully to the Imam when he delivers the khutbah, and number five that he will pray with the Imam the Jum'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this a means of expiation, a means of forgiveness for whatever happened between the past Jum'ah and this Jum'ah, an additional and credit 3 days. Okay? Subhanallah. You see? But we have to take this. It's one bad deal. Okay? People being understand, breaking for lunch, playing basketball, and after this they don't enter until the Imam or they hear the Adhan. You're already sweating. You see? What do you think? He's coming for this congregation among the Muslims. You're supposed to prepare yourself, remove the sweating, having perfume, have clean clothes, all the things. You come in for Jummah. You come in for interview. You're going to come and the angel is going to write your name when you enter the door. You're going to be in the middle of the angels and the believers. You see? So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ثم أتى الجمعة, he washed, he came to Jummah, and he performed optional prayer, at least the Surah Ash when he enters the masjid, and after this, he will listen carefully to the Imam, and after this, he will perform the Surah Ash with the Imam. Now, this will be what? Forgiveness for him, for all things that happened in the last Jummah. Everything that happened last week will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Plus what? 3 days. Credit for you. So I could not see how we can live in reward the God. May Allah forgive us all. Hadith number 370, وعنه, that means Abu Hurairah, the same reporter, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ذكر يوم الجمعة فقال فيه ساعة لا يوافقها عبد مسلم وهو قائم يصلي يسأل الله عز وجل شيئا إلا أعطاه إياه وأشار بيده يقللها متفق عليه. Okay. This hadith which is recorded by Abu Hurairah that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم telling us about one of the virtues of Jum'ah, one of the speciality of Jum'ah, something special about Jum'ah, that there is an hour in it. Any Muslim, and when you say hour, does not have to be 60 minutes, okay? An hour, that means there is a time during this day of Jum'ah. The day of Jum'ah, then there is a time in Friday at which no Muslim will stand up what I'm saying and bid Allah, who is great and gracious, for something, but he would give it to him. And he, the Prophet ﷺ, point with his hand that it is, this time is short, very little. Okay? There is an hour during this day of Jummah. If you standing up, making prayer, calling in Allah, okay, active in prayer, does not have to be prayer standing up, making salah. That means you're indulging in the dhikr of Allah, reciting the Quran, sitting in the masjid, involved in ibadah of Allah, calling in Allah, asking Allah, oh Allah, give me this or give me that, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you. And this comes every week. Every week. And you can see how millions of Muslims, they have ignored this virtue. Okay? And the scholars, they have a lot of discussions and a lot of opinions about when is this time during Jummah. And if anybody has something very urgent and really, really needed, you will sit from Fajr to sunset, try to catch this hour. If it's something very, very urgent, you want to get it, all what it takes, what, 12 hours, 14 hours, you could not lock up yourself in the masjid with the Quran or making salah, making dua, at least for 1 week. How many Muslims understand they go fill an application, be running behind a job for days and weeks and months and working in a line? Or what, we have to take you someplace, I'm not going to mention the country, and see the hundreds of Muslims standing in the, on their own feet for hours and hours, day after day, in front of the American embassy because they want to get a visa. And pay dollars and dollars and hundreds of dollars. And they repeat it again tomorrow. And they leave early in the morning. So, 2 hours before the window opens, they want to be there in very crowded place so they can submit visa. So they can get to the window to submit their application. And we can stand before Allah, we could not make this at least once. once in a month or in a year that we have something very important? Subhanallah. Hadith number 371, page 165, reported by Abi Burda, radiallahu ta'ala an Abih, قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هي ما بين أن يجلس الإمام إلى أن تنقض الصلاة رواه مسلم. Okay, the hadith is authentic, reported by Muslim. ورجح الدارقطني أنه من قول أبي بردة. Okay, الله أعلم. That Abu Burda, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that this hour or this time is between the time when the Imam sits down and the end of the prayer. Okay? This is one of the saying, when is the hour. وفي حديث عبد الله ابن سلام عند ابن ماجه وجابر عند ابي داود والنسائي انها ما بين صلاه العصر الى غروب الشمس. Okay, other narration is saying that this hour or this time that Allah will guarantee your supplication if you join it during Jum'ah, he said that is between the prayer of Asr and the sun sets. More than 40 different things were narrated about this special detail, or this special hour, this special portion hour, or portion time on Friday, which I had detailed them in my book, Sharh al-Bukhari. This is the explainer. مين اللي قال كده؟ ابن حجر ولا ابن الصنعاني؟ ده الشيخ يا الله يعني ضعيفة؟ بطلنا ندرس The most authentic among all this is that the hour which is between us and sunset. As I said, that Imam Hajar, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, who explained Sahih al-Bukhari, he had mentioned about 40 different things about it. And the most authentic opinion among all this, and Allah knows best, is that the time between Asr and something. But as I said, if somebody has something urgent, he will sit from Fajr until Maghrib, making sure for his publication to be accepted, inshallah. Allah Muslim. Next one, which hadith number 372, concerning Madat al-Sunnah, أَنَّ فِي كُلِّ أَرْبَعِينَ فَصَاعِدًا جُمْعَةً. The isnad of it is ضعيف, and some of the schools said you could not make the Jum'ah congregation without 40, and their evidence that because when the Rasulullah made the Jum'ah with 40 people there, but this is not evidence, and some they said always you need 12 people to make the Jum'ah congregation, and they said because the hadith that we mentioned when the caravan came and some of the Sahaba, they ran to the caravan, the only people left there was 12, but this is not also in the subject. So it's not anything from the Prophet to say that it has to be 10 or 50 or 100, okay? So whosoever there comes in the masjid, the Imam leads them in Jum'ah, and what the number doesn't constitute the acceptance of Jum'ah or no, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. So hadith number 372 is weak. Hadith number 373 is weak.
Hadith number 372 is weak. Hadith number 373 is weak. That Rasulullah used to ask forgiveness or seek forgiveness للمؤمنين والمؤمنات في كل جمعة. Okay? This hadith, hadith number 374, page 166. Hadith number 374. وعن جابر ابن سمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان في الخطبة يقرأ آيات من القرآن يذكر الناس رواه ابو داود واصله في مسلم الحديث ان شاء الله maybe I think this is what I have to use for every hadith even if it's متفق عليه I'll say ان شاء الله authentic لله وانا اليه راجعون الجهل ام نفر كده that the hadith is inshallah authentic in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and the root of the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim reported by Jabir and that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite verses from the Quran but yeah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite verses from the Quran as a reminder for the people hadith number 375 وعن طارق ابن شهاب رضي الله تعالى عنه ان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الجمعه حق واجب على كل مسلم في جماعه الا على اربع مملوك وامراه وصبي ومريض وابو داود وقال لم يسمع طارق من النبي وأخرجه الحاكم في رواية طارق المذكور من أبي موسى هنقول عليه هذا شيخ لا إله إلا الله هم طلعين صحيح إحنا نعمل إحنا ها يعني هم الناس عايزة كلمة واحدة نقول لهم إيه The hadith reported from Tariq ibn Shihab and the meaning of the hadith is sahih that Jum'ah is fard, is a must, is obligatory, compulsory on every Muslim in the Jama'ah with the congregation with exception of those four. Slave or a woman or a child didn't reach the age of puberty and the sick person. Allah knows this. Those are the people who are exempt. We understand also that Musafir is exempt. The traveler also is exempt from this and Inshallah, if I can exercise my personal understanding that this will apply also to those people who are prisoners in jails, okay? Because their condition almost like Mamluk, that they have no authority, they have no control over their affairs, okay? If they allow them Jum'ah, they want to make Jum'ah, Alhamdulillah, but it's not obligatory on them, and this is my personal understanding and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I can't be wrong because I know some of the brothers in the prison as they hear this, they are not going to like it. But this is, as I said, my personal understanding. I can be right and also I can be wrong. Okay? With a big W. Hadith number 376. Oh, alhamdulillah. Oh, fazid. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس على مسافر جمعة رواه الطبراني بإسناد ضعيف وهو صحيح إن شاء الله ابن عمر
May Allah be pleased with him. Says was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no Jum'ah on the traveler. Okay? That means he's also exempt. Next hadith 377 in page 166 عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا استوى على المنبر استقبلناه بوجوهنا رواه الترمذي بإسناد ضعيف وله شاهد من حديث البراء عند ابن خزيمة and the hadith been classified to be authentic إن شاء الله. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to sit up on the minbar, that the Sahaba, the discipline, the behavior of the Sahaba, they used to turn their faces to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We used to face him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last hadith in the chapter of Jum'ah, hadith number 378, وعن الحكم ابن حزم رضي الله تعالى عنه قال شهدنا الجمعة مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقام متوكئا على عصا أو قوس رواه أبو داود okay. الحكم ابن حزم رضي الله عنه الله بيبليز بهم from the hadith which is the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and the hadith is Hasan, is good, inshallah, that he said, we attend Jum'ah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood up leaning, okay, on a bow, an arrow, or a staff, or a stick, okay, and my personal understanding about this hadith because some people, as I said, in different countries, the Imam, there is two swords in front of him in the minbar, and when he climbs, he takes the sword in one hand and the stick in the other hand, things like this. This can be, and Allah knows best, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaning on it for some kind of health reason or difficulty or something like this is not that part of the practice or part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, since Brother Ghassan is here, we will ask him to come to give us a general view about what he heard tonight. He was almost like halfway listening. But basically what we would like for him to give us explanation about hadith number 358, which is hadith Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man adraka raka'atan min salati al-jum'ah wa ghayriha falyadif ilayha ukhra wa qad tammat salatu. And basically what we want him to clarify to us about how the hadith can be the meaning is right and the narration is wrong or the isnad is wrong, how some people make it sahih while Sheikh al-Albani sahah al-Sheikh al-Albani but i'tibar al-Hakim and all the things that my English is not good enough to, so inshallah and if any other notice that you would like to add or correction, we appreciate it, inshallah. JazakAllah khair.
Inshallah, first, inshallah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let me clarify about the hour in Salat al-Jum'ah. Okay, do not get confused by the so many opinions about what time is the hour. Okay, first it's an hour as in the Arabic calendar, and the Arabic calendar hour is 60 minutes too. So when Rasulullah said the second, the first hour, or there is an hour, it is the literal hour. Second, the hadith, the authentic hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear that it is the hour before the sun sets. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said while he was praying, one of the companions asked the other companion, how we are going to be praying after Salat al-Asr? There is no optional prayer. Okay? And he said, didn't hear what Rasulullah said. He said, what did he say? He said, the man is considered praying as long as he is waiting for the prayer. So the authentic hadith, the authentic narration that Rasulullah said, it's the hour before the sun sets, you will be in the masjid, supplicating, waiting for Salat al-Maghrib, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will grant you your dua, inshallah. Second, about the shaz. I do not see any of my students here, but shaz, it means in the literal meaning is off. Okay? Basically, what we know of the shaz, the ulama says, أَنْ يُخَالِفُ السَّقَةَ مَنْ هُوَ أَوْثَقْ مِنْهُ. Let me explain. We have a scholar, for example, Imam al-Zuhari. He is one of the great scholars. And Imam al-Zuhari has so many students. Okay? Imam al-Zuhari rahmatullah alayhi has many students. Okay? This gift, he has 15 students. And 15 students of Imam al-Zuhari who always with him, all the time with him, he would say, they would say that we heard him saying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate an apple on such occasion. And one of the other students, he is trustworthy, but he is one, he is not as good as any of his elite students, nor he attends the classes of Imam Zuhari as much as he do, and he would say that he ate an orange. Okay? He is trustworthy, but the many numbers of the students and or the more trustworthy, they said he ate an apple. So this student, when he says he ate an orange, we call it what? Shad. That means he made a mistake. He's been an odd. He's been what? Diverted from the group and mentioned something the group did not mention. That means shad when there is contradiction. Not an addition, but basically we have so many people narrating one thing. They are more trustworthy, their memory is much better, they attended the classes and studied under the very sheikh more than the one who is contradicting them by stating something different which he could live in the same place where the other students were there. This is shared. Basically, that's it. But basically, it's art. Why there is disagreement? Because if you look at the chain of narration, okay, A from B, from C, from D to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You look at one narration, you think the hadith is authentic, or the isnad is authentic. The chain of narrator is authentic. But, we know that the text of hadith could have more than one chain of narrator. Sometimes have 10, 15, 12, 100, 200, based on the many of narrators who narrated this hadith from the companion or companions. Okay? So when you look at one chain, you think it is authentic. But when you compare all the chains which are leading to the same text, to the same matter, now you know that this individual made an error because his narration of the same incident, at the same time, same thing has been said, as different, is opposite to what they said. Hopefully it's clear, but if it is not, inshallah, I mean, a different occasion, we'll explain it, inshallah. You see?
I have a comment about what you said, the hour in the Arab 60 minutes. And the hadith is chosen for hour in this hour because the Qabilu has, so the hour does not have in 60
minutes. Okay. This yuqallilha does not mean that he will increase or decrease on the hour. But I want to specify something that the 12 hours day, the 12 hours night, the 24 hours, okay, the dividing of the day and night, 24 hours, it has been known at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though the starting hour is different, okay,
الساعة الغروبية is different, but at the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, they used to have 24 hours for the, what we call it, a full day, day and night. This is the point that I want to make. The other details, inshallah, Rabbi, I will discuss in
the hour in the time of Rasulullah, 60 minutes.
It's 60 minutes by our time now, but it used to be 24 hours the day, the whole day. So it should be 60 minutes.
Hour doesn't mean time.
Hour doesn't mean time, because hour, like for example, when we talk, hour could be a star, like the hour, the day of the Asha'a, which is the Yama al-Qiyama. Okay? But when we mention that, like for example, those who come the first hour to the Jum'ah, those who come the second hour, those who come to the third hour, this is a literal meaning of the hour which is used to be known at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone would ask, they have to come after Salat al-Fajr? No, because their time, their starting time of the day or calculated in this hour was a little bit different than ours. Inshallah, Rabbi Alameen, I'll explain it on a different occasion, inshallah. Okay, inshallah? About this thing, the other questions, they go to the Shaykh, inshallah. A camel, the first hour is for a camel. Correct. For the woman? Okay. In general, women are discouraged from praying in the masjid. Are discouraged even from praying in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say to the woman that the woman, if she prays in her house, it's more in reward than praying in my masjid. Which we know that if you pray in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one prayer is equal to what? 1,000 prayers. And if you pray in Mecca, it is 100,000 prayers, and if you pray in Jerusalem Mosque, in Al-Aqsa Mosque, it is equal to 500. But the women in general are discouraged to pray in the mosque. They are allowed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that do not prohibit your woman from coming to the mosque even at night if they seek the permission. Okay? لا تمنعوا إماء الله متاج الله. And we know from the so many hadith that the woman at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to attend the masjid for different purposes, but regarded praying in her house is more rewarding than praying in Jum'ah. Now, the third they say, if she comes to pray in the masjid, whether it's Jum'ah or whatsoever, she will get the same reward as the man did, but she will be sacrificing the great reward of praying in her house. And the reward in the masjid applies to anyone who attends, male or female, but the woman, she will be sacrificing the greater reward by coming to the masjid. Her being in her house is much better than coming even to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if she comes, she'll get the same reward. She will give the camel, inshallah. But you'll be losing much more if she stayed home. That's it? Okay, subhanAllah.
Hello? You have any questions? Right, the flight will be inshallah from 9 on, starting this week coming, after Salat al-Maghrib. So approximately we say 4 to 8. Excuse me? 7:45 inshallah. Alright, salam alaykum wa rahmatullah.